that lightly, I mean it. Let me say that again, and you think about that for just a moment. Isn't it good to be in church tonight? Amen. I've enjoyed. Amen. We should all be that happy, to be honest with you. We're just saved. Amen. God's been good to us. Well, I tell you what, listen, I said we're just saved. Amen. And listen, help me out tonight. We've been on the road all week long. I am tired tonight, physically tired. So I need you to amen me on, all right? The more you amen me on, the faster I'll go, because I know a lot of you have some miles to go. Who's going home tonight? You're leaving here tonight. What's the farthest? Anybody going to Connecticut tonight? Yes, going to Connecticut tonight for the masses church. So some of you, maybe you're going farther. I'm not sure where you're from, but it has been good to be in God's house. And I tell you, one thing I like about being in God's house is this. When the Spirit gets moving, I just kind of lose track of time. And so tonight, I hope you're focusing on what God is going to do in your heart and has done in your heart. We have been here 3 hours already. Pastor has said that. And so I am going to be mindful of the time. I want you to go to Daniel chapter 1. I want you to know preaching in this pulpit is very personal to me. It's very personal to me. This is the church that God used, and this is the pastor behind us, behind me here, that God used to even get us where we are today down in our little town of Marion, North Carolina. And so it's very personal to me. Pastor Ryman's first son preached the first message. I consider myself a Ryman, and also, by the way, I consider myself the better-looking son. Do you agree with that? Is that all right? Samson's ugly. I'm good looking. That's just the way it is. So I'm in no way related to the Rymans, but I'll tell you what, he has been like a dad to me. I remember 20 years ago being out at college and nearly blowing my life in my dorm room telephone number. Pastor Ryman, I don't even know how you would have gotten that telephone number. No idea. Trisha, I'm sure. But every time that phone rang, we didn't have caller ID back then. I mean, Brother Mike, we didn't have cell phones back then. Do you understand? Do y'all know what a pager was? Do you need me to tell you what a pager was? Y'all remember what that was? Huh? Some of y'all are like, what? Man, listen, back then we didn't have caller ID, and I'd pick up that phone. Multiple times it happened while I was at college. I picked it up, and on the other line is Pastor Ryman. And I thought, oh, here we go. He's going to start asking me about my earrings and what color is my hair and where am I going to be this weekend and all that stuff. And listen to me, he would tell me he was praying for me. And so being here is being with my family, and I really, really mean that. And I don't take that lightly this evening. And so I hope to be a help to you. And young people, I am going to go fast, and that's a commitment that I have. I'm going to take this message. This was a 6 to 8 week series I did with our teenagers, and I'm about to preach it in about 20 minutes. Y'all believe me? Don't call me a liar. I'll slap your mother. You understand me? Good night. Daniel chapter 1. Here we go. Listen fast. In the third year, verse 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. He besieged God's people. I want you to understand that. Look at verse 2. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. Israel, the children of Israel had gotten away from God. And as God would commonly do, there was a cycle. As they would get away from God, God would bring judgment. And this is where we're stepping into the story. This was another time of God. Listen to me. Judgment is a good thing. Let me say that again. The judgment of God is a good thing. The judgment of God is giving you another chance to see that God cares about you still. When the hand of God is against you, can I tell you what that is? That gives you the indicator that God's attention is on you, and that is a good thing, my friend. And I want you to stay with me tonight, because as we talk about this, as God was doing this, there was some young people that were real. There were some young people that just weren't going to do it the same way everybody else was going to do it. And there were some young people here that came out, and they stood out. They made a difference. And young person, let me tell you what, the day and age that God has you in right now, God has brought you to a place that is very dark. And that gives you, listen to me tonight, that gives you the opportunity to shine bright for the name of God. And here's what I'm to tell you, is that God didn't leave D.L. Moody in these last days. God didn't leave many of the other great preachers that you've heard about throughout history. God left you and I. What a privilege, young person. He could have left anybody, and he dropped you in the middle of your dark public school where they need God, and they're turning to drugs, and they're turning to alcohol, and they're blowing their lives. And God looked at that time period and said, it'll be dark, and he's called you to be the light. What a privilege. What a God that he's called us to finish this thing out. Skip over here. Let's go over. I got to get through some of these verses here. Skip over to verse 11. We're talking about Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Look at verse 11. Then said Daniel to Melzar, who was the prince of the eunuchs. Go to verse 12. Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. And let them give us pulse to eat. The king had offered them good wine and good drink and good meat, but that was going to violate what God had told him not to do. Give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Look at verse 13. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. Can I point this out? Because I need you to have this understanding as I preach tonight. I want you to understand that as Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, as they separate themselves, and as he points out the other children, these were the same children of God that when they were besieged, only Nebuchadnezzar wanted the best of the best taken out of Jerusalem and brought to his land. That's a good plan, by the way. He said, I want all the learned and all the smart ones. So in other words, most of you wouldn't have made it. I'm so sorry. He said, I want the best of the best. I want all the children of Israel, I want them to come out, and I want just the best of the best. Everybody else can stay. Give me the best of the best. You know why? Because he wanted the best of the best to intermingle amongst his people. Listen to me. He wanted the children of Israel to start hanging out in Babylon. And you know what most of the children started doing? They started doing it Babylon's way. Hey, they were fine with doing it like Babylon. Listen to me. It was good to enjoy the things that Babylon was enjoying. Hey, it was good to do it the way Babylon was doing it. But can I tell you what? Listen to me. At the end of it all, there was four young men that stood out far better than those who were doing it Babylon's way. Can I just make a point right now? And I want you to stay with me tonight. But let me just say this. If you do it Babylon's way, you're going to end up like Babylon. But let me tell you what. You do it God's way, you will be fatter and fairer, way better than what this world has to offer. You will stand out living in the blessings of God. Do it God's way. Babylon's way never works out. Never works out. Babylon's way of dating never works out. Babylon's way of fun never works out. Babylon's way of living never works out. It never works out. Listen to me. God's way always works out. How are you doing it in your life? You live in Babylon's way? Listen to me. Are you looking at life and saying, hey, the glitz and glamour of Hollywood, the glitz and glamour of that music, the glitz and glamour of all that alcohol and the way that they do it, the way they live it up? Listen to me. You're going to find out.
Yeah, go ahead, brother.
You'll end up just the same way Babylon ends up.
Amen.
And let me tell you what. Babylon needs something real. You should be heartbroken that when you step into your public school, man, their lives are miserable. Let me say this very clearly tonight. You and I are not better than Babylon. We're not better than Babylon. As a matter of fact, some of you, you just have a different testimony is what that comes down to.
Yep.
Brother Samson, you're right. This is the older crowd, Brother Mike. How are you, by the way? I didn't get to hug you today. I love you. I'm sorry. I love Brother Mike. I just had to give him a hug. It's the ugly crowd, too, man. As soon as I got to Samson again, I'm sorry. I love you. All right? I know. I'm hammering his good looks tonight. I'm sorry, Dad. All right? Two young men. About a mile and a half from our church. Jump on a four-wheeler a couple years ago. Ride off into the woods. I don't know how the conversation started. I don't know what led to these circumstances and the details of this particular story. No idea, but jumped on the back of a four-wheeler. And Babylon had left them empty again. They'd gotten a hold of a gun. And I don't know who pulled the trigger first. But when somebody finally found them, both of those young men had taken that gun one at a time and blew their brains out. Let me tell you what. As you sit in Babylon, you have no idea who, listen to me, cries out in the middle of the night. They don't even know to talk to God. They don't know how to do it. They know about a church that, man, they drive past and their small little town somewhere in America, wherever God's dropped you. But listen to me, they are crying out. They are crying out because they want something different, and you are it.
Amen.
You're it. Those little boys are in a neighborhood that one of my sons knocked their doors every single Saturday for their bus route. Run a bus right through that little area of Clinchfield. And you know what? Listen to me. They just needed someone to do it different that could have come to them and said, there is, listen to me, there is hope. There is hope. They have no hope. Their moms and dads, man, they're splitting apart. They have no hope. If you're in here tonight, how about a God? If your home's blowing apart right now, mom and dad ain't staying together, and your mind goes to the fact that you start thinking, but Brother Jason, I'm in church, and our home won't even stay together. How about there's a God that's brought you to a place here Amen. To give you hope?
Yeah.
To give you hope. They're not sending youth rally tonight. Babylon's not sending youth rally tonight. Babylon's sitting at home. Babylon's trying to look for some way, some pleasure, something that'll just make them happy. Just drown out the pain for just a couple of minutes. God's dropped you right in their lives. Young person, it's dark, and they need some light. Daniel said, listen, me and the boys, we ain't doing it your way. They said, we're not doing it your way. And said, listen, prove it. Just prove it. Let all the rest of the children of Israel do it your way. Just let them do it your way. But let the four of us do it our way, because we believe that our way is right before God. And 10 days after that, the one overseeing them looks at them, judged their countenance. And all of the rest of the children of Israel, listen to me tonight, looked at those four. And they were, the Bible says, fatter and fairer. Fatter and fairer. Go to the end of that chapter. I'll give you some points. I'm just about done. Literally, I've almost driven home the message. If you don't have these two verses underlined in your Bible, I highly recommend that you do. Verse 19, if you would. In the king, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and David, they finally are brought before the king. There's so much history here tonight. I can't explain it, but there was a time period where the children of Israel, the best of the best, brought out of Jerusalem there. They were brought in, and they had a separation period before they came to the king. So time went on. Daniel did it his way, the same way. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did it also the way God would have them to do that. Finally, they come before the king. Verse 19 says this, and the king commanded with them, communed with them, and amongst them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore stood they before the king. Now watch verse 20. And in all the matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better. Ten times better. Can I tell you what? None of us in this room are 10 times better than anybody in Babylon. But I tell you this much. God can take our lives and make it 10 times better. Do you understand me tonight? Listen to me. This wasn't about Daniel and the boys being better than everybody else in the room. What it was is they knew that they had a calling on their life, Brother Mike, and they knew that, listen, if we stuck with God, watch this. It's going to turn out better than sticking with Babylon.
Amen.
And when it came down to the end of it, all of them, all four of them came out 10 times better than anybody else standing before the king. Hey, you know what 10 times better does? 10 times better, just a chapter or two later, goes through the lion's den. Hey, in all of the world saw God do something great with that young man. 10 times better, just a chapter or two later on, they get dropped in the fiery furnace. Hey, they're in the middle of that fiery trial, fellowshipping with Jesus. Why? They are 10 times better. 10 times better. And God can take your life and do something far better than you can even imagine.
Amen. Amen.
But if you do it Babylon's way, young man, young lady, you'll find out, just like Babylon finds out every day of their life, it's not worth it. Do it Babylon's way. You'll live regret all of your life. Listen to me, do it Babylon's way. You'll wish, boy, when it gets to the end of it all, you'll wish you hadn't.
Amen.
Do it God's way.
Amen.
All I can tell you is this, it'll be 10 times better than you can even imagine.
Amen.
I'm telling you. It's already 8:12. I don't even know where to go with this message. I'll give you two things tonight. How's that? I won't even give you my introduction. 10 times better. Watch this. Write this down. You note takers. 10 times better is the difference. 10 times better is the difference. In this world wants something different. 1964, the Beatles flew across the ocean and landed in America. Floppy hair, man, the moms and dads. Man, they went nuts. Here this group is with all their wild living. You know what they were singing? Brother Mike, they were singing this. Are you ready for this? Here's what their wicked song was. I want to hold your hand.
Yeah. Come on, how about that?
I mean, that's what they were singing about in 1964. Beyonce does not sing about holding hands. Brother Jason, am I coming across clear, right? All right, I know you listen to Beyonce, so I know you understand. I do all the time, brother. But can I tell you, listen to me. It always, Pastor Ryman, it's always got to be something new, something fresh, some new sin to satisfy the flesh. Man, it's something new. Listen to me. Listen. Daniel decided with his buddies that you can do it all the new way. As a matter of fact, this is not a point I'll drive home hard tonight, but please do not forget, I've already said it, everybody else around them that were doing it Babylon's way were the children of God. And they refused to do it Babylon's way. Why? Because they, Babylon, needed someone to be different. And young person, listen to me. They're trying new ways to be satisfied. They're trying new things to be satisfied. They're trying agendas, lifestyles, all kinds of different things. And can I tell you what? They're empty and they're hurting. And they need someone who's different. Someone who does something different on the weekend. Someone who does something different in the classroom. Someone who lives different, talks different, does different things on their cell phones, does different things with their time. Or are you just walking into Babylon being just the same way they are, doing their thing, doing it their way? You know what? I'd rather step out on faith and find out what in the world 10 times better is like, Brother Joe. That's what I want.
Amen.
Hey, listen to me. 10 times better is my 10-year-old son just about 30 minutes ago coming up and getting in my ear and saying this. Teenager, listen to me tonight. 10 times better is my son Nick getting in my ear and saying, Daddy, what's it mean to give your life to God? And I said, son, you just go on down that altar, tell God he can have your life, and there he marches.
Amen.
Listen to me. That's 10 times better.
Amen.
Man, it's 10 times better. And if I've said anything tonight like I've cornered the market on 10 times better, I haven't. It's a spiritual fight every day of our lives. But Samson, what do you think it's going to be like? The Garner family, Pastor Ryman. God's given us 8 children. We're not even missionaries. I tell you this much, my car's 10 times bigger than anybody's in here. Drop the mic on that one. That's the truth. I drive a church van. Pastor Ryman, what do you think it's going to be like in 20 years? Facebook's still around. If it's still around, who knows? There'll be something new. Babylon always needs something new. You'll find us on Facebook. I think, hey, listen to me. Use this stuff for good. Man, got on Facebook the other day, and this wife is just trashing her husband on Facebook. And I'm like, ma'am, come on. But can I tell you, listen, in 20 years, what's it going to be like when me and Miss Tricia post a family picture and our 10 children and our grandbabies, and man, God, for they all have, listen to me, all 8 of my children, they're going to have to make their own choices. But I hope that all you see on Facebook at that point, when you see a picture of our family, is a family that's living 10 times better than this world. I hope that when you look at the, listen to me, I hope that when you look at the Garner family and God just poured out his blessings on our family, I hope the very words that come out of your mouth is just look at what God's done with them. And just know, hey, just know when we were young, about 20 years old, Brother Ryman, under this man's preaching, under friendships like this man right here, other people praying for us, my father-in-law, Shaw Henson, many men of God that may have just reached out to us and loved on us. Listen to me. We made some choices. April, about 20 years old. Can I tell you what? It's my brother that had to go through the drug rehab. It wasn't me. And I'm not better. Listen to me. I'm not better than my brother. Hey, listen to me. It was my sister that went through the $82,000 eating disorder rehab. It wasn't me. Listen to me, it was my other sister who's been through multiple marriages and trying to just scrape together their life, her and her son and her daughter. Can I tell you the only difference between us and them? It's not that there's a difference in our flesh. There's not a difference in anything else that I can explain to you except for this. At about 20 years old, me and Miss Tricia just said, God, you can have our lives. Just do whatever. And if there's anything that's coming across right now that I'm saying, I want to be very careful, that seems prideful on my part, I am so sorry. All I can tell you is we're living about 10 times better than a lot of people in Babylon. Listen to me. You're the difference. Babylon needs something different. Adele is about to divorce her husband, but she sings in your ears about what love is. Listen to me. Does that make sense to you? Listen to me. You don't understand how messed up their lives are. But you're going to them for your guidance. Man, listen to me. You can make one choice. It'll make your life 10 times better. They need something different. Please understand is this. Babylon needs something different. I remember my wife when I met Tricia when we were in 11th grade. She fell madly in love with my wonderful personality. Actually, she was dating my best friend. That's truth. You remember Brad, don't you? She was dating Brad. I had a little girlfriend.
What about Brad?
What about Brad? Come on. There's truth in that statement, and he knows it. But can I tell you what? She was dating one of my friends. I was dating some other girl who broke up with their boyfriend, girlfriend first. I did. That probably ain't true. I don't know. One of us broke up with their girlfriend or boyfriend first. Actually, I know I did. She broke up with hers. Next thing you know, we're just talking. Do you know why? And listen, I'm going to be guarded about this. I'm very against, I probably say this every year, Brother Samson, so I'm sorry. I don't even recommend dating the way her and I dated.
Amen.
Do you understand? There's a time for everything. Do you understand? And dating needs to come in the right time. Does everybody understand? I'll just put it this way about my beliefs. My sons and my daughters will not date until they're 18 years old.
Amen.
That's us.
Amen.
Some of you just died. You're like, I'm 12 years old. I am madly in love, and I already know who I'm going to marry. Listen to me. You can't even put your dirty drawers in the clothes hamper sitting in the corner of your room. There it sits. And your dirty underwear sits next to it. But you done figured out who you gonna marry. God help us. No, you haven't. When people ain't looking, you pick your nose and eat it still. Come on. But listen to me. Do you know what I was attracted to her? Listen to me carefully. Young ladies, let me... Do you know what I was attracted to about my wife? Did I say 20 minutes? I lied. That was over 7 minutes ago, all right? But do you know why I was attracted to her? I was attracted to her because I'm just shooting straight. If anybody knows where I'm from, I'm so sorry. If you know where my Christian school was, I'm so sorry. But can I tell you what? Our Christian school, Brother Joe, the seniors, they were doing it Babylon's way. Our 11th graders, Miss Trisha could get up here right now and she would testify to the same thing. Our 11th graders were doing it Babylon's way in our Christian school. And she busted up in the middle of that Christian school carrying her King James Bible. And let me tell you what, it rattled some feathers. And when I saw that, I was tired of messing around with Babylon. And I thought I wanted something real. And a lot of you know my testimony. Soon to come after that, I walked away from many of those things that God had done in my heart. And as I walked away from those things, watch me, she walked away from me. She said, do your thing. Go play that music. Get every piercing you want, every tattoo you want. Do your hair any way you want to do it. Wear any clothes you want. She said, but as long as you're doing it, she said, have fun in Babylon. I'm staying back here with the Lord. And listen to me. When we got it all together and we got married in 2000, I promise you this much. Samson, she hadn't come to Babylon. She waited for me to come back to the Lord. And when it comes down to it, I'm so glad all these years later that our lives, listen to me, our lives are different.
Amen.
Because she was different. And I wanted something different. I was one of the Israelites. I was one of God's children who was trying to do it Babylon's way, trying to hang out and do what Babylon was doing. And you know what? I'll never forget leaning up against a brick wall in Virginia Beach, had gotten things that I had worked for hard. Gotten things that I had worked for hard, and the people that I was doing this stuff with, two of them walked up to me and said, you got everything you want, and you are so unhappy. Do you know what? I just thought I'm doing it Babylon's way. Doing what Babylon's doing, and they're all miserable. And church, let me tell you what, listen to me tonight, young people. The world wants something different. The world wants something different. I'm just about done. I'll give you this point. I'm finished. Jesse, you ready to play? Just play something if you would. 10 times better is the difference. 10 times better is the deliverance. You're it. You close your Bibles. I realize I just gave you the story. I had more Bible verses. One of the things I've learned from running with Samson, we've gotten a lot closer the last 2 years. Samson hammers the Bible. Samson, you don't know how on Wednesday nights in our teen service at New Manna Baptist Church, I say all the time, the most important thing I'll give you in this message is every Bible verse that I give you, every bit of Bible. And that's because I've watched you. He gives you the Bible. And tonight I realize I've taken one story and tried to give it to you. Can I tell you what? This world is hurting and they need a deliverer. You're it. You're it. If I had you pull out your cell phone, start scrolling through your contacts, God dropped you in the middle of your Babylon. Because every single one of those people, they need someone who's going to be different and show them what true deliverance really is. And true deliverance doesn't come through alcohol, pornography, inappropriate teen relationships. Deliverance comes through the truth of God's word. And here you sit tonight with a choice to make. Am I going to do it Babylon's way? Watch this. Or am I going to allow God to make my life 10 times better? You choose. Jesse's going to sing. Altar's open. You can come if you want to.